Well, everyone, welcome back to the Golden Generation podcast. There's no intro music tonight because there's nothing to be too happy about, guys. I think we all know the magnitude of what's been going on the last couple of days, and we're in the in-between episodes with the last couple of games of the World Cup going on, but this is just something that we couldn't ignore. I'm joined, Gerald Lynch, joined by Tom Williams and Lucas Ronaldo for this episode. Tom, we'll start with you. Settling back into home life after two of the best probably weeks of your life over in Qatar, expecting to come back to an amazing A-League, especially with the Christmas derby this weekend and all of that. And it's kind of turned into that meme where the guy walks in with pizza boxes and everything's just on fire. You've come back to just a shitstorm. How are you taking it on a more personal level, everything that's happened the last couple of days?
Yeah, look, it's not great, is it? I mean, like, just all the positivity that was radiating around Australian football circles after our best performance ever at a World Cup. You come home thinking that it's, without wanting to quote the guys all up in my mentions, it's a new dawn for the APL, a new dawn for the A-Leagues. The next of many dawns that have already passed in the 17 years of this league, or however long it's been. But it genuinely did feel like we had turned a corner. So to come back and see what can only be described as a completely callous disregard for the fans from an avaricious private consortium whose own interests want to be protected over and above the actual views and values of the fans, I think it's absolutely heinous, to be honest.
Well said, Tom, as always. And Lucas, I mean, especially for you, I mean, your job, a lot of what you do is presenting A-League news and that sort of stuff, and you cover those stories and all of that. That's been put into jeopardy as well. How are you feeling, like, personally with everything going on at the moment?
It's awful. It's awful for the league. It's awful for Australian football. I think from a South Australian perspective, we're quite parochial in terms of our sports, and definitely in terms of the eastern states. To see something else get taken out east is devastating. There's almost not enough words in the English language. Which I can't master, to describe how bad of a decision this is. I think it says it all that in the promotional video saying that they're going to do this, that they use clips from Suncorp Stadium, clips from Adelaide Oval, clips from Optus Stadium. These states would never, ever, ever get 50 to 60,000 people for a regular season game, but they did for the grand final, for the showpiece event. And it just boggles my mind that we would take $12 million to turn that down so that we're going to get a few thousand people. It'll become unfashionable to go to a grand final now if this goes ahead. People will refuse to go. If you say to your friends that like the A-League, oh, I'm going to go to the A-League Grand Final. People go, oh, you support that. So, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, I think everything you've said there is you've nailed it on the head. One of the things that really stands out is when Danny Townsend was in that original sort of release about how good it was going to be, he was saying that it was going to create an experience where this, you know, an A-League Grand Final could be someone's very first experience with the A-League, and that's why we've got to move it to Sydney to give all these new fans a chance. Why does it have to be a grand final? Why couldn't it be any other game? Like, I just feel like the rationale behind all of it, and we'll get through all of what he said and stuff throughout this episode, none of it really makes sense. So we're in a really obviously difficult spot at the moment. I also want to ask both of you, do you guys think that the decision will go through? Lucas, do you think that we'll make it to grand final day and it'll be in Sydney regardless of who's playing, or do you think that common sense will prevail?
Just on that point of what Townsend said about it'll be people's chance to go to their first grand final. Yeah, if you live in Sydney, not for anyone else, because you're not going to get on a flight and travel across the country to go to your first ever game. That's an insane...
Unless you have a free kidney to sell.
That's so out of touch. But I don't believe it'll end up happening. I think there will be too much mayhem and they're eventually going to have to fall on their sword. But that'll only happen if we keep going. If the supporter groups keep boycotting, if players, and it disgusts me, the lack of players that have come out. I know they're contracted. I know they've probably been told to shut their mouths. And I know that's wrong. But it doesn't matter. People like Craig Goodwin, people like Kwande, those are the people that are going to make the difference. The European Super League, it doesn't matter when the media, it doesn't matter when, unfortunately, it doesn't matter a lot when the fans do it. It was when Jurgen Klopp came out and had a go. It was when Jordan Henderson and all the captains banded together and had a go. These players need to realize they have a voice and can change it. And if they want to stand up and prove to the country that they do care more than anything about the fans, and at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be a threat you go through with. Because if the players say, we're not going to play this week, then it's not going to matter. Because they're going to reverse the decision no matter how much it costs them. So likely, if everyone bands together, we probably won't even have to go through with a threat. But to answer your question, I still believe that sanity won't prevail. It'll just be a matter of there's too much mayhem and they have to find a way to reverse it. Or the New South Wales government reverse the decision themselves.
Tom, what do you reckon?
I think there's absolutely no, like, it's beyond comprehension to imagine a world where this deal in this form actually eventuates, because there's just, like, it makes no sense for any stakeholder in this actual deal, because ultimately, if the fans aren't going to fucking rock up, then, like, the New South Wales government is wasting their money on something which is already a risky investment anyway, because like we haven't seen money of this kind really being placed into football, and it's a lot of trust to place into football. And then for the APL, like, ultimately, as much as this deal wouldn't sort of suggest it, the APL want to have fans at the game, and they're not going to have fans at the game because every single fan seems to be united in their absolute hatred for this deal. So I don't think it benefits any stakeholder. And with that in mind, I think the deal may have to get reworked somehow. I've seen people sort of make a few suggestions about how that could be the case. I definitely would be down to see something like that happen. But ultimately, I think the best case scenario for all parties would be that the deal just gets scrapped, because it was an absolutely horrendous one to make in the first place.
Just before we go on, there's just one point I want to make, because the thing that they keep saying is, oh, the finances of it, the finances, we have to do it for the money because we're so cash-strapped. Even though last week we were pretending that we're going to go for Cristiano Ronaldo, and now all of a sudden we're broke. Just on that point, so we've got the rumoured fee is $12 million. Obviously, all proceeds of tickets don't go directly to the APL, but a lot of them do. You sell 50,000 tickets at Adelaide Oval for a grand final, or at Suncorp, wherever, at $40 a pop. That equates to $2 million. How much would the APL have to spend to artificially make those scenes that are interlaced all through their advertisements? Millions of dollars to those things are priceless to get those moments. There's so many people I know in Adelaide who the only game they've ever been to was at Adelaide Oval that haven't seen, and they say that's the best day of their life. It's, you can't, even if you get this lump sum, it's so short-sighted to get this lump sum and think it's going to work down the line. There's, I know they're trying to copy the tradition of the AFL and the NRL. It's apples and oranges. It's not the same. It's incredibly arrogant to think it's the same, to think that as many people are willing to go across the country, because football, more than anything, is about the club you support. People aren't going to book their flights that far in advance.
Just to add to that as well, like, the sum of $12 million is completely inconsequential. Like, over the course of 3 years, split between 12 clubs, this does not equate to being much at all. For context, when the A-League had to drop the salary cap because of COVID, that was dropped to 2.1 million and then it got raised again to 3.2 million. So that means per club, the APL was giving each club after the COVID season an extra $1.1 million in salary cap for every one of the 12 clubs. And this is after the COVID season where all of our youth players actually got an opportunity to play because all the A-League teams were forced to play them because they weren't didn't have the money to go sign visa players or foreign players. And these youth players don't get an opportunity to play in a national youth league because the APL is too concerned with staffing Keep Up and hiring another copywriter for Keep Up instead of actually using their funds to, like, you know, create material change in Australian football. And yet that's actually more money than that they've spent doing that, raising the salary cap since the COVID season, than they would get back in their investment from this deal. It's an absolute farce in every single way possible.
Yeah. Even the fact of it being a money issue doesn't fully make sense for a number of reasons. A lot of people are suggesting that maybe there's something at play in terms of Danny Townsend and the Liberal government and things like that, which I don't know enough about New South Wales to comment on that. But I guess I just feel personally so betrayed, because the whole reason the APL was brought in was to give the clubs and obviously then in turn the fans the best possible experiences that they could have. And also, obviously, we were just handed this golden opportunity, dare I say, after a brilliant World Cup to capitalize on. And then we've gone 14 steps backwards with this decision. And even if it gets reversed, which I agree with the two of you, I think that it eventually will, because I think no one's going to stop arguing and protesting and doing it until it does get overturned. But even then, some fans will be lost to the game by then. It's so hard to gain fans, but obviously so easy to just lose them. My next question to you guys was that, luckily for us, as Melbourne Victory, Western United, and Adelaide United fans, our clubs all said no, apparently, to the proposal. But for those other eight clubs, in particular the ones outside of New South Wales, like, how do you think that they're feeling at the moment? What steps do you think that if you were in their shoes, you would take? Would it be a cancellation of membership, or can you see their reasoning a little bit for this decision?
Well, the thing about them saying no, well, firstly, obviously, we know that they weren't originally approached. Well, at least Adelaide United were. Allegedly, it seems like Victory or Di Pietro at one stage had said yes, then resigned. But Adelaide United weren't involved in the original process. Then, of course, since then, they had the meeting where clubs were essentially, by the sounds of it, told, look, you're going to have to suck it up, vote for it. Ray Gatt has come out and said that, like you say, that it was Glory, Adelaide, Western United and Melbourne Victory that voted against it. But the Mariners, the message they've put out to their members says that 10 out of the 11 clubs that participated in yesterday's meeting ultimately voted in favour of not trying to pull out of the deal. So either they're lying to their members, which to be honest, I doubt, because it was a very forthright message, I thought, and very well put. Or the mail about Adelaide United and Melbourne Victory or West United, Perth Glory, that three of those are wrong. I get that the clubs can't vote against it, but surely they can see the greater good. Surely, even if there's pressure, this is the time where you earn your role as a CEO, as a chairman, as an owner. So I think everyone's coming out and saying, no, we didn't want it. It was this guy. Well, how about you take some accountability? How about you actually, if you think this is the right decision, come out and say, look, this is what I think is right. And fair play to Danny Townsend. That's what he's done. He's actually been, well, honest is an exaggeration, but he's actually been committed to being the face of this, even if it's wrong. But there's a lot of people that have agreed to this that have now gone, oh, no, I didn't do that, and now are backing away. And all the people that are in that video, all the people that spoke but didn't want to speak about the subject, they're all at fault at some point. You can't now that you've seen the reaction, go, oh well, like I didn't know what I was getting myself into. If you're a fan of football, you should know that this is a disgrace.
It's really interesting, that video. Craig Goodwin was the first one to come out and say, I didn't know what I was talking about. I said grand finals are good. I wasn't saying anything about that. Then there was Remy Simpson, who came out as well and said that basically a really broad statement about like, oh, I always want the grand final to be played at the home teams, blah, blah, blah. But then when everyone was saying, can you explicitly say to us in the replies, everyone was telling her, can you explicitly say to us that you didn't know what you were talking about? Because her whole thing was like, oh, it's going to be, she said something about, oh, it's going to be great to have the grand final in Sydney or something. So like, I think it is a case of a lot of people backtracking because they don't want their name on this. It's so many people have to be complicit in this. Like, I think it's going to continue to come out over the next couple of days. Like, information's being leaked so often, clubs emailing their members and all of that sort of thing. I mean, even on the document that was released yesterday, every single one of the 12 clubs, like representatives, was signed off on it. And then eventually that got removed. So don't exactly know what happened there, if they hadn't agreed or if they were advised to remove it. But there's certainly still heaps to play out.
Yeah, the craziest thing for me is that, and I agree about the stuff with Danny Townsend. I think credit to him for sort of owning it, even though I feel like he sort of should have reversed it by now after all the backlash. I think it's a completely untenable position to take that this is a good idea at this point. But I do respect that. And I still actually do respect him. I think, It's hard for me to sort of say I'm sort of in an awkward position here because Danny's always been pretty supportive of me and he's gone out of his way to sort of like credit me and like be nice to me and stuff like that. But ultimately my own opinions and my journalistic integrity prevails here. And what I would say is that the APL could have avoided this entire mess entirely if they had actually just like stopped for 1 second, removed their avaricious desire and their insatiable appetite for generating revenue and actually considered what the fans' views are, because all this had to take was leak this to some journalist, whether it's Adam Peacock or me. I mean, Lucas Ronaldo or Gerald Lynch potentially. Leak it to anyone, right? Neil Simons, yes. the great dangler of transfer news.
Yeah, anybody.
Literally anybody. And they would have put it out to their platform. Soccer Twitter would have absolutely imploded. And then Danny Townsend could log on to his Twitter, see him being tagged in 300 different things at once in the space of 5 minutes, and then he can just decide not to do the deal. It literally would have been that simple. But now, because we're in this situation where the fans were a complete afterthought here, and they were a complete afterthought, because what this was about was securing revenue for the APL, a private consortium. And if you're to believe the sort of conspiracy here, which, to be honest, I think has some sort of merit, is that there was some dodgy stuff that went on behind closed doors within the New South Wales government, because why on earth would this not be lobbied to other state governments to try and get a better deal? Like, that's just what logic would dictate. The fact that Victoria, who have been supportive of football, contrary to other people's beliefs, because they literally had Man United and Crystal Palace playing friendlies here, like literally like 4 months ago or whatever. Why would they not even be involved in some sort of discussion about this? Like, they'll say it's because Sydney has the stadiums or whatever. But at the end of the day, I think it's some sort of dodgy backdoor business with the New South Wales government, because they've done stuff together in the past. New South Wales wants to be like the home of sport in Australia, even though they're not. So I think there's so many factors at play here. But I think what I can categorically say is, without any doubt in my mind, is that the fans were an afterthought. And I think that is completely at odds with what the APL purports to be their purpose.
Do you think that you guys would be a little bit less angry if the A-League did come out and the APL came out straight away and said, New South Wales has given us this great opportunity. They've put an eight-figure deal at us to host the grand final. The game's in a dire state post-COVID where we really need these sort of funds. And so this is why we've made that decision. Rather than spinning it off as this great opportunity, this football festival, I think if I hear that word again, I'm going to vomit because we hear it every single year. It finds its way back into the A-League. But spinning it as this great thing rather than calling it how it is, which we don't even really know if we can trust that they need the money, but that's the reports that are coming out. Now, do you guys think you'd be a bit more accepting of it, Lucas, if they had have said, we really need this money, we know it's not the best thing ever, but work with us?
I feel like they've said that without saying it, because I don't think you can go and say, I think the New South Wales government would probably be a little bit annoyed if they came out and said, look, we think it's an awful idea, but, you know, we're broke. That pretty much says, you know, if any terrible brand wants to sponsor us, you know, we'll sell our soul. I think they've said that without actually saying it, to be honest. To me, like, the decision is awful, but worse than the decision itself, I think, is the inability to listen to your fans and change your mind as a result. I hate the decision. I think it's awful, but I think the fact that there was absolute uproar, they should have gone, doesn't matter how much it would have cost, we need to get out of this because we're going to lose all our fans that we've just, like we've said, worked so hard to get. And it's a slap in the face more than anything to Victoria when, you know, well, the scenes at Federation Square, people were calling it the new home of Australian football. And now, within 10 days, they're trying to say that New South Wales is. I think it's a slap in the face. But yeah, I don't think there's any way they could have packaged this that people weren't going to lose it.
Yeah, I do agree as well that I guess like people were going to be angry either way. And yeah, they can't say that decision was crap. But I just feel like we've been treated like we're idiots, you know. And that, well, like, I don't know. I know they said they expected some backlash, not as much as they got. But did they really think anybody was going to be eating this up and super excited about it? I mean, everything that they're going to do in grand final week, in this crazy festival week, they could do anywhere. Nothing of it is Sydney specific. And it just doesn't make sense. Tom, what about you?
Yeah, for me, it's really hard to say. I think it would have softened the blow a little bit had they actually been honest in their promotion of the deal. But for me, I've sort of lost all trust in the APL to actually make good decisions with their finances, because at the end of the day, as I alluded to earlier, the APL has got $140 million in Silver Lake money, and the only evidence of spending we can see is staffing for the APL and hiring extra copywriters for Keep Up, when still we don't have an NYL. Still, we don't have the APL, who, as an organisation which purports itself to be for the greater good of football in Australia, as opposed to being a private consortium who exists for the sole purpose of generating revenue, should give a shit enough to actually offer their support for a national second division, which would be one of the most game-changing moments in Australian football history, to actually align ourselves with world standards, give young players more opportunities to play at a level which they need to be playing at to improve, and also ensuring that we get more teams in the top division of Australian football, be it through promotion and relegation from a national second division, or through granting licenses to the likes of Canberra, to the likes of Wollongong, or etc., who realistically should have got the license last time, probably instead of MacArthur. There's nothing really that the APL's done since the unbundling from the FA that would suggest to me that they are responsible for using these taxpayer funds effectively. I just don't think that they've demonstrated that at any point whatsoever. And it really hurts me to say that, to be honest, because I care for the greater good of Australian football, and to see football sort of crumbling before my eyes like this, it's really, really bad to see.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. I think especially off the high we've come off in the last couple of weeks. Tom, are you going to be in attendance in the Melbourne Derby on Saturday? And what's your plans for that? Are you going to walk out with the rest of the fans? Are you going to sit through it? Will you be in the press box? How's Saturday going to look for you?
I haven't decided yet. I definitely won't be in the press box. I don't cover Melbourne Victory games because they're my team. So I don't think it's really fair for me to cover them. And plus, I wouldn't want to cover them knowing that I wouldn't dare celebrate in the press box. I actually hadn't bought tickets. I haven't bought tickets to this game yet. To be honest, while I was in Qatar, I completely desensitized myself from the A-League. And then I came back and didn't even realize that the A-League was on like last weekend. And then sort of just got reminded of the Melbourne Derby through that. And by the time I realized that the Melbourne Derby was happening, the whole Australian professional leagues as a whole was crumbling and before my eyes. So I'm not sure. Like, I don't know I don't know. I might go, I might not. I don't know yet. I don't really feel the need to give more money to this institution after what they've done in the past couple of days.
Especially just to spend 20 minutes at the stadium as well. Probably not worth the money. That's another thing.
If I was there, I would walk out. I feel like that would be pretty obvious. But yeah, thanks, Phil.
another thing is like the derby is, you know, there's a lot of hype around it and both active ends were selling out and stuff. But the A-League hasn't tweeted about it. The clubs haven't tweeted about it all week. So I guess it's not a case of they can't just ignore it and continue to put out all the tweets they probably were going to put out this week. But it just feels so empty at the moment. There's been no real like posts about like tipping and fantasy and the weekly schedule and stuff and like past clips. And there's been nothing. Like normally a Christmas derby week would be full of both clubs posting highlights from the past. You know, that the Archie Thompson celebrating that big guy's face would get a run on every social media platform, all of that stuff. And it just feels like a ghost town at the moment. And I don't know about you guys, but this week is going so slow. I can't believe it's only Wednesday. I just want it to be Saturday because I feel like that is the line in the sand moment where we're going to see the fans have talked it up. I know that the APL is in real consultation with active groups at the moment. They're trying to work something out because they're scared. I think they're scared and they should be scared because the active fans hold a lot of the power. I mean, you think of the last time active was at its peak was 2015, 2016. That's when A-League crowds were also at their peak numbers. They're slowly coming back. Melbourne Victory is obviously pretty much back to its best. A lot of other actives are coming back this year. Western Sydney, Sydney. You know, we're continuing to see better numbers. And now they've made a mistake. They're scrounging to fix it. But I would be very surprised if Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory's active supporters stay past the 20th minute in their seats at that ground. No matter what the APL says. Cannot wait for Saturday personally because I think it's just going to be a real turning point. If they see six bays, three sets of active supporters walk out from each end, they're going to have to do something.
I just hope that the way they walk out and with both sets of fans planning to walk out, that nothing happens where it distracts from the issue at hand. As someone who saw a bit of that going on in the Adelaide United vs Melbourne Victory game as of late, which luckily didn't get picked up on too much, I hope the Melbourne Victory fans behave properly. And this needs to be a bit of mayhem. This needs to be a bit nuts, but I just hope there's no furring of anything. Just remember who I don't want to use the word enemy, but remember who this is against. Because I think at the end of the day, there's a real possibility that all those fans are leaving at the same time that something happens. The most powerful thing would be if they ended up watching the game together somewhere. But, you know, it's kind of hard to watch football in a pub nowadays. But I think...
thanks to who?
I'll just... Pardon?
Thanks to who? Thanks to the APL for signing the worst broadcast agreement ever and, like, literally... like making sure that the game is like invisible to any casual fan. So like
that's the thing. I feel like we put up with a lot as A-League fans. We I travel to Ballarat to watch my team a couple of times a year. I'm expected to travel to Tasmania to follow them for home games. We'll put up with going to the grounds on Wednesday, 5 p.m. We'll put up with watching it on the most unwatchable streaming service ever created. But I think having to travel interstate for a home grand final is where A-League fans have drawn the line. And I think that's very fair. And as I spoke about on my podcast a couple of weeks ago, I think as A-League fans, we almost feel this sense of responsibility to try and, like, in our own little way, help grow the game. I always try and get my friends involved. I always share things on my social media, even though I find it a bit cringe to put, like, a Western United post on my Instagram. I'll still do it in the hopes that maybe it'll latch on a couple more people. And so now it just feels like it's just such a slap in the face. And I think that's the overall thing, just feeling so disappointed about it. And yeah, I think we've said a lot of what needed to be said.
Like Lucas was saying as well, by anyone taking this a step too far, it also then gives the APL and the people that the fans are actually fighting against here the ammunition to take the moral high ground. And ultimately, you don't want that to happen because the headlines should be on the actual protest and the issue itself rather than the way in which they're going about doing that, whether it be in a dumb way or like whether some fan body throws a flare at someone's head or something. I don't know. Like, it just needs to be done in a way where it's very passionate and you can see the clear intention behind it, but the media can't like pick up on it and be like, oh, like what are these hooligans doing or whatever.
Yeah, it really needs to be handled in the proper way because we know mainstream media, even after the Fed Square stuff, they'll latch on to the slightest negative thing and run with that. And we don't want our situation to get lost, obviously, in all the commotion of what could be. And I'm sure there'll be flares there if BCF have stocked up in the last couple of weeks. I'm sure they'll be out of stock once again this weekend.
But gee, you wouldn't want to own a boat at the moment, would you?
Well, you wouldn't want to be a bad boat driver at the moment, that's for sure. But you'd be stranded out there. Yeah, look, if you guys have anything else to say, we'll, you know, get the comments out now, otherwise we'll wrap it up for tonight.
No, I think I'm officially at depression phase of this grief.
I feel like I've been going through the five stages every day. I wake up in the morning and I'm like just a dark cloud above me of this is still going on. And then I get angry throughout the day and then I'm like, I don't care. I don't need the A-League. And then a couple of hours later, I'm putting out another voice note about it on Twitter. It's really screwing with me, to be honest. But what can we do other than wait for a big weekend of football, I suppose. This episode will be closely followed by a recap of tomorrow's semi-final between France and Morocco in the morning as well. We've got a special guest for that one, which will be exciting. The only football we can really talk about in a positive way at the moment. So stay tuned for that. Share this episode around as much as you can because this is what we have at the moment. We have our voice. We have our ability to fight back through this. And we hope you guys enjoy this episode and agree with what we said. Thank you, Lucas, for coming on at a late hour.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me.
And thank you, Tom, for the same thing, I guess. thank you guys very much. And
cheers.